This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
We bring in Mike Gillespie from Kings.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
It's a Kaufman here. Mike, I don't know. I think Royals fans are probably feeling like it looks more about like 6% the way things have been going. It's, of course, not quite that bad, but my goodness, what a disaster of a week it was.
Well, you're right. You know, when I was with you a week ago, we were talking about, you know, maybe on the show today we'd be talking about a playoff spot. We're talking about a playoff spot, but not quite the way we expected it. But, you know, that's what happens when a contending team just, you know, gets home for its final homestand and drops six games and seven in a row.
Yeah, I'll tell you, Mike. I mean, clearly, offensively, the I guess you can call it anemic bats for the Royals over the last week or so. And really, the offense has not been particularly good in the month of September in general. But really, that's been on full display over the last week. I saw a stat that was referencing Vinny Pasquantino going on the IL, and the Royals have really struggled with runners in scoring position. And I saw this stat that from the beginning of the season until August 30th, when Pasquantino was put on the IL, that the Royals were hitting like .295 with runners in scoring position collectively. Once Pasquantino went on the IL on August 30th, ever since that time, they've been batting around the Mendoza line with runners in scoring position. And so obviously, you know, having the loss of Pasquantino in the lineup to drive in runs, we're seeing that happen game after game after game, where we've seen players get on base. We just have had an issue with getting those players in and scoring runs.
Well, that, you know, that's exactly right. And you know, I think it's, a lot of people, I think it's been easy for them to say, well, when Vinny went down, the whole lineup went down. What a lot of people forget is about the time Vinny went on the IL, Witt went into a slump. I mean, he really did. He's coming out of it now. And at the same time, even though Perez was getting some key hits, I think it's fair to say that he's starting to press some. He's chasing that low and away pitch again. So it's more than Pasquantino. I mean, it's top to bottom. There isn't a hitter other than Witt right now who looks like they're not in a slump.
This has been a streaky team all year long. That part shouldn't surprise us. And I like to be an optimist, especially when things look this dire, as much as you can be. that streaking the other way could be timing out perfectly. Like if this stays a streaky team and they can get it turned around, obviously, to get there, and that times into the playoffs, they're going to be a really hard team to beat. But it is very hard to look at it that way now, seven losses in a row with all of these teams now back in the mix for these. You've got four teams, maybe five, but unlikely, but at least four playing for these two spots. You've got a series against the Nationals here. They have to win these games against the Nationals. We don't want to come into this thing with their backs against the wall even further, taking on the Braves in Atlanta.
No, I agree. And I remember when we kind of talked about these things last week, I talked about how I was kind of nervous about the Giants series because it seemed to me like it might be setting up as a trap series. The same thing with going to the going to Washington. They don't have the best pitching, but you know, Washington is a team with absolutely nothing to lose. They're 18 games under 500, and they're putting a target on the Royals' backs for the next three nights. I really think that's dangerous. Then you go to Atlanta, where right now, you know, almost the biggest series in baseball is what the Braves are doing for the next 3 days, playing the Mets, only two games behind them. And if the Braves win or sweep that series, they're going to be awfully hungry when the Royals get there Friday. So there are no games to overlook in the next six, none.
Yeah, so Mike, a little bit about me. I'm a Braves fan, grew up a Braves fan, obviously, you know, cheer on the Royals too. But I actually, for the Royals' benefit, I hope the Mets, you know, are able to take two of three or maybe even sweep the Braves for the Royals, because at that point, the Braves are going to be out of the wild card mix and they're not going to have quite as much to play for. They're getting up for this series against the Mets this week. And then, you know, maybe by the time the weekend rolls around, you know, it won't be quite as crucial for the Braves, at least in that matchup against Kansas City. But as you mentioned, if Atlanta is able to take a couple, you know, from New York in this next to last series for them, then at that point, you're talking about two teams in the final regular season matchup, final regular season series that will both be battling for wild card spots, for playoff spots with the final couple of games left. And it could be a really, really tough matchup to your point. So obviously the Royals are now in a position where, yeah, you can only control what you can control, but you're certainly crossing your fingers that a few other things happen, especially with your own wild card race in the American League.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And you know, if you hear any of the Royals in the next couple of days saying, "Hey, we're not watching any other teams except the one we're playing. You know, we're not paying any attention to any other teams." Yeah, they are. They really are, because they know they need a little bit of help right now.
I mean, you just, the missed opportunity came this weekend, because now you get it where you've got the Twins get to play the Marlins here. You know, the Mariners are against the Astros may help, maybe, but the Astros have that thing locked up as far as the division goes. I just, if the magic number's at six and you only play six games, there's no way we can imagine the Royals winning all six here. Of course they could, but if you don't get at least two or three against Washington, I don't know how much help they're going to get from the other teams to shrink that number. That's the problem I see now, is even with like the Twins struggling, they get to play the Marlins here down the stretch. I think Detroit gets the Rays and the White Sox. I mean, it's just, the other side of the magic number doesn't look as helpful as it did this time last week.
No, definitely not. And you know, when I was a few days ago looking at the last week schedule, the thing that stood out to me most was, oh my, look what the Tigers end with. Three at home with the White Sox. Yeah. I mean, that's not good. And it's not good for the Royals. It's great for the Tigers. But yeah, this, you know, when they went to this format several years ago on Sunday, the last day of the season, everybody starts at exactly the same time. You know, it hadn't worked out all that well for a few years. The races are usually decided, but this weekend, you know, Sunday's going to mean something. unless, as you say, the Royals reel off five in a row going into Sunday. But yeah, it's exciting stuff.
Are you concerned, Mike? I know there's a lot to be concerned about right now going into the final week of the regular season, but we've talked about the lack of offense from Kansas City. I was at the game on Saturday against the Giants when the Giants put up nine against Kansas City. And you know, Brady Singer had a rough outing. It seemed like, you know, every time I looked up, there's another home run, you know, going out right there. You know, Matt Chapman's going to hit another one, you know, for the Giants. Are you concerned about at least, you know, maybe specifically Brady Singer or just the rotation in general? There's been so much focus put on the lack of offense. Are we still seeing some issues there with starting pitching?
Yeah. And, you know, if you look at everybody's projections on the Royals' probable starters in Washington, note that tomorrow is to be determined. There's only one reason for that, and that's Lorenzen.
Yeah.
They think he's about ready to come off the IL. And the question, I think, for Cotrero is if Lorenzen comes back and is ready to come back now, does he slot Lorenzen in instead of Marsh on Wednesday in Washington, or does he let Marsh take the mound and slot Lorenzen in Friday night in Singer's slot? And if I were Cotrero, I'd be awfully tempted to hold him off till Friday and to at least have him standing by ready to go if Marsh gets in trouble tomorrow, because you know, Singer has a history of slowing down late in the year. And right now, I think when it gets right down to it, he's the shakiest guy in that rotation.
Is it the first and the fourth that Marsh has been bad in all year? I think it's the first at least. They've got some options because you could use Marsh as an emergency either day too, yeah. I suppose. You know, if you wanted to go Lorenzen and Singer and then just have Marsh ready to roll. It's the offense for me. You go into Washington and score a ton of runs that's you're going to be, when they get this series, they're in a pitcher with an ERA below 4.30. That's going to start any of these games for Washington. It's time to make this not about the pitching. Like, can you go score 6-7 runs a couple of times and reopen this? I think the hard part is, I don't know if it's just a cold streak or if this offense just isn't really capable of that, sustaining that without Vinny Pasquantino. But I think that they are, but they feel like they're pressing, and I don't know if a day off can help. But do you get any sense in the clubhouse? Does this seem like a team? It does from the outside that would be equipped to just sort of push this to the side and start over a little bit, but that's easier said than done. And they've obviously never faced a test like this.
No, that's true. And you know, I think it's one thing that's important to remember about the makeup of this team is they've got some veterans who've been in these situations before. They've fought for postseason spots. They've played in the postseason, but they're also relying on a lot of guys who've never been there. And I think there'll be some natural pressing, but something needs to happen to shake them up. Maybe a team meeting, which I don't know is that big a deal. Some people think that Cotrero ought to just go out on the field, find a reason to throw a fit, get kicked out, and make a big display. Or maybe they need a fight, something like that. But I don't think any of that's going to help. I think they just need to hit. And if I were Matt Cotrero, if I've got anybody getting on base who can run, I'm going to start running. They've got to make something happen, and that's one way they can do it. And they've got people who can run.
Yeah, and I think following up on that, Mike, I mean, having kind of a spark starting from somewhere, that's got to be essential for Kansas City. And in a lot of cases, it does start with the manager. And, hearing Cotrero talk after the finale against the Giants on Sunday, and then hearing about, and I read a story over the weekend about what the Royals clubhouse is currently like right now after this losing streak in the homestand and how bad it was. Cotrero, you know, sounded fairly dejected in his postgame presser on Sunday in that finale, rightfully so. It's been, you know, such a disaster lately, but It was kind of painted a grim picture a little bit. He sounded frustrated. He sounded dejected a little bit. You know, that sort of thing carries over into the clubhouse, obviously, and it sounds like that's kind of been the case right now. In your mind, with Matt Cutrero in this final week of the regular season, I know both of these things are important, so don't get me wrong, but in your mind, what's more important for Matt Cutrero? Is it more important to try to get the clubhouse back together and try to find a way to have that spark? Or is it more important that the strategy, you know, whether that is figuring out the rotation or getting guys on base to steal bases, what's more important to you that Cutrero does well this final week of the regular season?
Well, Cutrero is going to do what Cutrero is going to do. And what I mean by that, take for example, the Washington starters this week, they're all left-handers. And Cutrero kind of gets tempted to bench MJ and Isbell and Massey when that happens. Well, I'm leaving Massey in the lineup. That's one thing he can do. But I do think it'd be great if he could find some way to start, as you call, that spark. Because, you know, he's usually calm, cool, and collected. But, you know, what you're talking about on Sunday, I think, is when he said – after the game, something along the lines of, you can't accurately describe the level of frustration in this clubhouse. That's really unlike him. So, you know, something's wrong.
That's not good. That's not good. Well, we'll see. Look, it's advantage Royals. It's Reagan's on the mound. They have the pitching advantage. It's a team that has not been good this year. At some point, they got to just go win games. I mean, that's what it comes down to. You could just basically say the postseason starts now. I mean, if you want to look at it that way, you get an extra week, Royals fans, of postseason baseball. How about we'll spin it that way?
Yeah,
but it's going to be crazy. What do you guys have going at Kings of Coffin for us, Mike?
Well, quite a bit. It's I had a story up this morning. Just kind of a news roundup, and talked some about the potential return of Lorenzen. One of our new guys has a story up right now about the longest playoff droughts in Royals history, which is good. And of course, we'll be jumping all over each game. One thing I would be remiss if I didn't say, you know, people have been talking about the Royals altering their rotation to get ready for a wild card series. If they follow the rotation the way it's set, and it comes down to the weekend, I mentioned Singer would be next up for Friday, but look at Saturday and Sunday. We're talking Seth Lugo on Saturday and Cole Reagans on Sunday. I feel good about that, if that's what we come down to. So I don't want to see Cutrero tinker with the rotation just for the playoffs. He's got to get there first.
Yeah, for sure. That would be – get no days off now, right? There's no way to skip a start. I don't think you do that either. So I'm with you there. All right, follow Mike on social media, Kings of Coffman, all covered for us. We'll all hold our breath for the next week. Here we go, Royals baseball. Get some help on the other side of it, too. Man, if you could get wins or losses, losses on the other side are just as good at this point. Mike, we appreciate it. Thanks for hopping on.
Yep. Thanks, guys.